Praise God. Well, you know what? I don't think you need to turn and tell anybody that you're glad you're here. It seems like that's pretty obvious. Yes, that's pretty evident. So, glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. I have one more announcement and sign-up sheet, but just didn't seem to do it right where we were at. But something that's coming up in next month, the 3rd of December, we did this last year also, and we're going to do it again this year. It's a ministry to, and we're just calling them Ladies of Honor. There's two ministries in our area that help women who have been through tough situations. One of them is Weave. And women that are going through tough battles and been through hard things and stuff like that, we just invite the ladies and the staff from the Ministry of Weave to come here, and we provide a dinner for them. And along with that ministry, the other one is Passages that Marge Beam is the director of, and that's up in Rapid City. So on that Sunday, December 3rd, and I believe I have the right day at 4:30 in the afternoon till about 7, the church is going to be putting on a meal and just loving on those ladies, you know. And the ladies from Passages, they've all been in prison, you know, and they're coming out of prison and they're trying to make that transition from prison to the world. And it is not easy. And something that I have said for years to people, and I experienced it in my own life when I came out of drugs and alcohol, that the toughest time in life, this is my experience, and I've seen it with a lot of people, is a transition period. Yeah, starting over, because all of a sudden you left everything that was comfortable and familiar, even if it wasn't healthy, even if it was bad for you, you left all that stuff, and now you're stepping into something brand new, and everything feels a little bit uncertain. And so if we can be a part of just loving on these ladies and giving to them, that would be wonderful. And there will be more details to come. But if you would be interested in helping with this, the church buys the main dish, and then we ask people to bring a side dish or to bring hors d'oeuvres or to bring a dessert. So if you would like, and here's the thing, like, our Sunday for soup, that is so casual and relaxed. I mean, we're not trying to be fancy. Everything's plastic and paper, okay? This is not. This gets far more elegant because we want to treat these ladies with honor, and we just want to spoil them. So if you're interested in helping with food, you can sign up one of these, and you can help with a side dish, you can help with dessert, you can help with bringing hors d'oeuvres, anything you would like to, and we'll just love on them. And there's a lot of other things that go into this night, so we'll give you more of those details, but it's a wonderful ministry. It's a wonderful chance just to love on people who often society doesn't love on. Amen? So, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your giftings, your ability. I think about two passages of Scripture here, Father. One, not that I should think that anything comes from myself, for I am not sufficient in and of myself, but I have a sufficiency that comes from you. We all have a sufficiency that comes from you, God. And therefore, we are all sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter that kills, but of the spirit that gives life. And then, Father, I think of the Apostle Paul, where he said, by the grace of you, he was who he was. Father God, by the grace of you, I am who I am. And your grace towards me, your grace towards us, I believe is not in vain. And then Paul went on to say, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Father, I don't know if I can say I labored more abundantly than they all, but I do want to labor more abundantly. I do want to give myself more to you. I want to. But I realize I've got to have your grace. So I thank you, God, that your grace is sufficient. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your gifting for each and every one of us in this place. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. It was kind of for me as a minister and as a pastor, if I have the heart of the message for Sunday, I can relax a lot. If I don't have the heart of the message for Sunday, I don't relax so well, because I really want to get the heart of what God's saying. If I've got the heart of what he's once said, then I can minister a lot easier, and I can put it together a lot easier. But if I don't have that, it's like, oh, it's like stuff is blank. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, stuff was feeling pretty blank, and I don't like that. And then Saturday, I was going through the house, and I was thinking about something for my daughter, Heather. She wants me to be sending her things on joy. So some things about joy was running through my head. And then the Holy Spirit says, go ahead, just minister on that. So we get to talk about joy this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know this. How many of you got to be here this past Wednesday night? How many of you had a great time? Oh, man. We did something different this past Wednesday. We've been sharing it. We just had a night of praise and prayer. And that was all we knew when we started. That's all we knew that we were going to do. We were going to praise God, and we were going to pray. That's it. And I love it when it's set up like that. And a great big thank you to the worship team, because they usually know the order of the songs. Well, they had some songs, but they didn't know the order of it. So like Diana said, kind of stretching us in a good way, stretching us to walk more in the things of God. And they did such a beautiful job. They did an awesome job. And it was rich and full in the presence of God. And I never would have dreamed that everybody that was here would have been up on the platform praying for the worship team at the end. But that's where we ended up. It was just rich. It was so good. So, and we're going to be doing that, you know, pretty much like every other month. We might add to that, I already had a bunch of people come up to me and say, no, Pastor, not every other month, every month. Well, then someone will say every week. Well, we just let God lead, amen? So, but it was absolutely full. And just thank you to the worship team. What a beautiful job, amen? Hallelujah. So, thinking about Breezy and joy and getting to minister along those lines. And then as I meditated, God put something else that he wants to come right before joy to share with you this morning. It's just something that's going to tie in. And because as I started talking about joy, or started studying joy and looking at it again, it dawned on me, if the word isn't given the proper place, then a person will never get out of the word what God intends for them. So for title's sake, the 10 suggestions, or the new suggestions. One of my concerns, and I see this happening with people, is too many people. I don't know about everybody in here. I don't know about you specifically. I don't know. But there's too many people, when I'm talking on the big scale, that kind of take God's word as a suggestion. How many of you know God's word is not a suggestion? Amen? But we start to treat it that way. We start to treat it like it's a suggestion. God's word is not a smorgasbord. Pick and choose what we want. Amen. Come on, say, talk to me now, Pastor. Come on. I like it already. Just keep going. Don't slow down. Amen. It's not a smorgasbord. He put stuff on there that he intends for us to eat. Amen. And I just put it this way. Anybody ever had a tendency to want to take a verse of scripture and set it over here and kind of ignore it? You know, it's amazing how many people I've talked to over the years that will take a verse of scripture and they just want to set it over here. I don't want to get into all of those verses that people set over here. Let's put it this way. How many of you have ever talked to somebody and they had a verse of scripture that they wanted to set over here? Amen? I just had this thought. You know what? Those scriptures that we want to set over here might just be the ones that we need to put front and center. The fact that we're wanting to set them to the side could be an indicator of something. God's word is not to be treated as a suggestion. It's to be treated as his word. And when we give his word its proper place, in our life, then His Word can bring into our lives what He intended. Amen? You know, now, just read this. There's people, they don't give the proper place to God's Word. And as a result of that, God's Word is not able to bring to them all the things He intends them to have. And well, God's Word's all powerful. Depends on how we treat it, the impact that it has in our lives. Amen? Now, if that sounds a little bit bold, remember this. Jesus said that people make the Word of God of no effect by their traditions. In fact, take your Bible and open up to Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. And turn and look at somebody and say, and yes, he's talking about joy today. Amen. Well, Pastor, you can always tell, you know, the atmosphere can change depending on what the minister's talking about. It can get pretty solemn. It can get pretty quiet. And you know what? That's okay. That's all right. It's okay for the sanctuary to get solemn. It's okay for things to get quiet. Amen. Hallelujah. So, two passages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. Matthew 15, Mark 7. Love it. How many of you just love the sound of children? Amen. Praise God. Matthew 15. I'll just start at verse 1. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said to them, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who..." And let me start over. "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." That's pretty tough stuff, isn't it? So you'd wonder what the curse might be. Well, what if we look at it in the context to kind of figure that out? "But you say, 'Whoever says to father and mother, whatever profit you might have received of me has been dedicated to the temple.'" You know what they're doing here? You know what the Pharisees did? They got working mom and dads to say, "You know what? Just dedicate everything to the temple and you don't have to take care of your mom and dad when they get older." And he said, "That's a curse." Amen? Aren't we reading that right there in the scripture? You know, Diane and I, we've been through this with, you know, we have one of our parents still alive. And one of the things that became important to us was we were going to honor our parents. How? "I honor you, I honor you." No, by being there. By being there in person, by helping. And now, through a circumstance of events, you know, we've put our name on the line financially. That's honoring them. Amen. But the Pharisees got it to where, "Oh, just dedicate everything to me." And you don't have to do that. Isn't that sad? Jesus didn't like it too much. Verse 4 again, "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to shame.'" How do people curse their father and mother? Not by not taking care of them. By not being there for them. Verse 5. "But you say, 'Whoever says to father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple.'" Now notice verse 6. "Is released from honoring his father and his mother." What did they get released from? Commandment of God. They got released from the Word of God. Was Jesus okay with that? He wasn't okay with it. Amen. We got to be careful when we start, you know, when people start releasing themselves from the Word of God. Something's going on over here, so I don't have to do this over here. You know what? If you got that going on in your life, better check. When you start releasing yourself from doing the Word of God, I would say you're on thin ice. Amen. And remember, it's not a smorgasbord. We don't get to pick and choose. Men, we've got to give the Word of God its proper place in our life. And all of the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but I've come across Word of God that I don't like. You ever come across it? And as a result of not liking some of the Word of God, I find a way to change it. I'm thinking about a particular verse I did that with for years. Even taught it wrong. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Well, I had a particular person in my life, and this particular person and I are on different pages in every category of life. You name a category, we're on opposite pages. And you know what? If it is possible, I love that. It's not possible. I'm off the hook. I'm off the hook because it's not possible. See, the if, it's possible. So I'm off the hook. And then I got to the second part one Wednesday night when I was teaching on that verse. Did you know that God will talk to preachers and correct them while they're preaching? I know. I've been there. And I'm preaching on this verse of Scripture, if it's possible. And having fun preaching about it. And then God just highlighted the second part, as much as it depends on you. And said to me, Joel, you're not doing as much as it depends on you. See, it was really convenient to leave that part out. Whew. You know, to have God correct you in the middle of your message, it'll get your attention. But I'm smooth. I just kept going. And folks that were here never knew that I just got rebuked. So I went home and I prayed. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? I repent. What am I supposed to do now? What depends on me? And he said, here, this is what I want you to do. I want you to buy this person round-trip airline tickets. It's going to cost me a little bit of money. Round-trip airline tickets from where they live to our place and to be here with the Christmas. And this was in August. So I called this person up and said, if you will accept this, you're going to know what your Christmas present is early. What is it? Well, I'll buy you round-trip tickets from where you live to here for Christmas. Oh, yeah. They took it right away, man. You know, as much as you, I wanted to set that verse of Scripture aside. And then I had a friend share this with me. A minister, I listened to his sermon. And you know, if it is possible, it's just not possible. And he read a verse of Scripture out of Proverbs. And I like to say, let the Bible interpret the Bible. And I mean, if you want to get clear understanding of the Bible, let the Bible interpret the Bible. And this friend of mine does a message, and he gets to the end of it, and he said this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that powerful? It's found in Proverbs. If my ways will please the Lord, he'll make even my enemies to be at peace with me. Wow. Is it possible?
Yes.
It's possible. And I got corrected. Thank you, God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, we got to give God's word its proper place. And when we give God's word its proper place, it in turn will bring into our life what he intends. Hallelujah. Take your Bible now, please, and go to the book of John 15. Y'all glad you came still?
Yep.
Amen. We're going to shift. And Pastor, why did you have that at the beginning? And now you're going to be talking about joy. Well, We'll get to that as soon as we get to John chapter 15, and I'll try to make that clear. John chapter 15. Start reading at verse 7. John 15, 7. You know, how many of you know that one of my biggest sins is being a people pleaser? How many of you know that? That is one of my biggest sins. I want people to be happy, and I feel like it's my job to please them. And sadly, that sin has caused me to not be direct as I should be sometimes. Bummer. Just bummer. I don't like that. See, what happens is then I compromise the word in sharing the word with people. And I don't want to do that. Why? Because if I compromise the word, I'm not helping people get the full effect, the full abundant life that comes through the word. So part of my exhortation and challenge and suggestion is for you to give God's word, its proper place. I mean, that really shouldn't even be a suggestion, should it? It's just good sound advice and say, yes, Pastor. I'll take that one amen. Hallelujah. Why? Why would I do that? Because I want you to get the fullness. Notice what Jesus says here in John chapter 7. John 15, 7. Thank you, Karen. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, does it sound like giving the word a very specific spot in our life? A very important place in our life? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What's a prerequisite for us asking what we desire and it will be done for you? Us abiding in him and his word abiding in us. So if we don't abide in him and his word doesn't abide in us, what's that going to do to our prayer life? It's going to affect our prayer life. We're not going to be getting the fullness. Okay? I like to say it this way. See if I can remember this. If you're abiding in him, you're obedient to the word. When the word is abiding in you, it'll do what it does. When you're abiding in him, you're obedient to the word. You do what the word says. And when the word is abiding in you, it will do what it does. See, and the word does some incredible things. The word brings faith. It brings faith to us. And it all depends on how we treat it, because we can treat it as a suggestion. Or we can put other things ahead of it and release ourselves from the word. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, man, that's good teaching. You know why you should say that to somebody? Because it is. I'm liking it. Hallelujah. All right. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Again, giving the word its proper place is going to have an impact on the fruit that we produce. Do you treat God's word as a suggestion? Or do you give it its proper place? Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's something about keeping the word there, isn't it? Amen. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. One translation says that my joy may be in you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be made full. How many of you like the thought of joy? How many of you like the thought of more joy? How many of you like the thought of the joy that Jesus has? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'll tell you what, the more the joy of the Lord we have, the more things we can walk through. Amen. And the place that we give the word of God is going to determine. Remember, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. That my joy may be in you. You know what? The word of God is a great source of joy. It is such a great source of joy. When we give it its proper place. Do you know the joy that I have from giving the Word of God its proper place on a Wednesday night when he rebuked me? My friendship with a friend has been forever changed. Our relationship now is forever different. Both this person and myself deliberately focus on the things that we have in common. We stop bringing up our differences. Relationship's been forever changed. Why? Because I gave the Word of God its proper place. And now when I get around this person, it's not, it's, I love you. Amen. Just from giving the Word of God its proper place, a relationship affected in a wonderful way for a lifetime. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that's okay. I'm not going to back up. I left out a phrase that I didn't want to leave out, but I did. John 17:13. Y'all doing all right? See, I know how many notes I have left, and I know I look up at the clock, and I'm going, these two aren't meshing. They're not lining up here. John 17:13, and someone's going to say, Pastor, just keep going. Just keep going. Thank you for that. John 17:13. And remember, this is a prayer that Jesus is praying to the Father. The whole chapter of John 17 is Jesus' prayer to the Father. Verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I have spoken in the world. These things I spoke in the world. And notice again the speaking part, the things that Jesus said. These things I spoke in the world. Why? That they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I'd love to have more joy. So here's what I do. I give God's word its proper place in my life. And God's word will bring joy into my life. Amen. Jeremiah. Yep, Jeremiah. Oh, pastor just jumped a whole verses, bunch of scriptures. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 15. Amen. I think about this. Many of you have heard me tell the story, and I'm not going to tell it in detail, but I had a Porsche given to me. Happy day. It's still a happy day, and 20 years later, I still have it and just enjoy it. But I had this Porsche given to me, and I'd be driving it, and it between a certain range, there'd be a vibration in it. And I'm really fussy about stuff like that when it comes to my cars. I don't like vibrations. I want my cars to be like me, smooth. Sorry. But it had this vibration in it. And I would put it up on blocks, and I'd get the back tires, and I'd look under there and see if I could see something that was out of balance, and just look and look and look. And I could never find anything, and this was my wish. I wish whatever is out of balance would break so I could fix it. And then I transfer that to life. God, if there's something in my life that is out of balance, can we please find it so we can fix it? Amen. I don't want things out of balance. I want things in proper balance. And when they're out of balance, I want God to talk to me. Why? So I can fix it. I don't like things not working right. Especially when it comes to my relationship with the Father. I want it to work right. So that's one of my prayers. God, talk to me. Hallelujah. Anybody ever had a problem in school with doing a certain subject, math or something like that? Ever had a problem trying to work a computer? Anybody got fancy watches or your clock or whatever? It's so complicated you can't easily set it back 1 hour. Anybody run into that? Anybody still have clocks that are an hour fast because you didn't even bother to deal with them? I can tell you this much. In our house last night, all the clocks that had, you know, the hands that go around and the little black knob on the back that you push to move the hands, those all are set at the correct time. The rest of the clocks are not. The microwave, the stove, the my clock. Why? Because it just, But how nice it is when somebody who knows what they're doing comes in and helps you. Thank God. Amen? What?
Was it a woman?
No, it wasn't. Actually, it was a man.
Okay.
His name's Jesus. Oh. And then if you want to go down that path, let's just ask Adam.
Okay.
I'm kidding. What's that? Let's keep going, huh? No, move on. Don't keep going. Anyway, all right. Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 16. Your words were found by me, and I ate them. Amen. Your words were found by me, and I ate them. Now notice, and your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I don't know about you, but I like that. The joy, the word of God can be the joy and the rejoicing of our heart when we give it its proper place. Amen. We let it be what Jesus said it was. The words that I say to you, they are spirit and they are life. Man should not live on bread alone, but by every word. Say every. Say it again. Every. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I love the promises. I love the promises. I also love the word that gives me correction and gives me direction to walk in the blessings of God.
Amen.
Every word. Your words were found by me. The words of promise, the words of healing, the words of forgiveness, the words of peace. I love all of those words. I also love the words of correction. Because there's a purpose for them. To get me where God wants me to be so that I can enjoy what He has for me to enjoy. And in that way, I can be a greater blessing to people around me. Amen. For me, it never ends with me. That's my goal. I want to be a vessel that God can work through. And if somewhere I'm a stumbling block and God can't work through me because of something in my life, then please, God, talk to me. Let's fix it. Let's get this out of balance, in balance. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I got more scriptures, but I'm going to quit with this one in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Glory to God. Habakkuk chapter 3. I also want to go to James. Chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why do you have to count it all joy when you fall into various trials? You guys are going to Habakkuk chapter 3. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why do you have to count it joy? Because joy, or because trials, are not automatically joyful. Amen? How many of you, when you fall into a trial, just automatically go, yay! No. But what does the scripture tell us to do? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Do you know how many times I've talked to people when they're in the middle of a trial, and I'll share that scripture with them, count it all joy, and you know what they want to do? Set it aside. No, do you know what I'm going through, Pastor? Do you know what the word says? That's what I'd like to do. Receive that word. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing, here's something to know, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Glory to God, if we go through trials right, they will end up producing in our lives. If we go through them wrong, then they will end up taking from our lives. Joy very much is a choice. What we choose when we're in the middle of tough times. See, and God, if we do our part, God will do his part. Why don't you just say that? If I'll do my part, God will do his part. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. I love the thought of lacking nothing, mature and complete. But I also know there's a process to getting there. And part of that process is counting it all joy when I fall into various trials. It's my choice. You got to Habakkuk? Or Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it. Verse 17. I just have so much fun with this verse of scripture. For though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stall. How many of you know this guy's having a bad day? So why don't you just move it into today, into your life? Though the refrigerator quit working, and the microwave broke down, and though I just got a notice from the bank, you know, just go ahead. And my truck has been sitting at the shop for 2 weeks. Right now, my truck is sitting at the shop. I don't know when it's going to get done. I'm just, and you know what I'm driving? A little two-door convertible, two-seater. Really smooth back tires on it. That's what I'm driving right now. Count it all joy, Joel. Count it all joy, Joel. Count. I'm going to go out and drive that car and spin some cookies. Is that okay, babe? We'll just do some cookies. Have some fun. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. All right. Verse 18. I love this. Everybody say yet.
Yes.
Say yet again.
Yes.
When do you say yet? When everything's messed up. When everything's going wrong, when I'm in the middle of a trial, when my truck's broke down, yep, I will rejoice. Look at it. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now whose will is involved here? Amen. Now turn, look at somebody and say, my will is involved. My will is involved. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. What are you going to do when everything's going wrong? I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to eat the word of God and let it become to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Amen. I'm going to give God's word the proper place. I'm going to be obedient to God's word. How about you? You going to be obedient to his word? I'll take that. Amen. And nod head over here. I don't know about everybody else, but I'll take those two. Amen. And I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's my part. That's your part. That's your part. That's your part. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, that's my part. And did you know that there's times and places where nobody can do your part for you? Sometimes we want other people to do our part for us, but nobody can do your part for you. There are certain things that only you can do in your life of faith Only you. I remember when my good friend Dave Morrison's wife, Kathy, passed away. I tell you what, people surrounded him with love and help and support like you can't imagine. Just in one way, we did as a church. Dave and Kathy didn't have insurance. And when you go through battling cancer for an expended stretch of time and you don't have insurance, guess what happens to the doctor bills? They just go through the roof. Well, through this church and through RMAI, we gave him finances well over $10,000 worth. You know, just asked people to give and people gave. And we, you know, we blessed and people gave and people came alongside and loved Dave and Kathy. And loved on Dave after she passed away. And then after a while talking to Dave, he said, you know, I was so grateful for all the help. Truly grateful. But there were some things that only I could do in walking through the grieving process. That is so true. There's some things that only we can do. Other people would love, if other people could do it for us, they would do it for us. But this verse, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How many of you want more joy? So many times it hinges on a choice. It hinges on a choice in the middle of the trial. In the middle of everything going wrong, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad in the God of my salvation. That's my part. That's my part. Notice his part. Verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on the high hills. Glory to God. I love it. What happens if I do my part? God will do his part. How many of you are glad God will do his part? And just remember this. It's vital that we give his word its rightful place. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just, you guys got like kind of quiet on me. And a lot of you know I wrestle with kind of quiet. I like loud and rowdy and all that sort of stuff. But I'm just going to take this. You're just going to go, Father, I take your word to heart. I take your word to heart, God. I receive your word, and I give your word proper place in my life. And I thank you, Father God, that as I hear what you said, your joy is in me. Your joy is fulfilled in me as I give your word its rightful place. And I thank you, God, that when I hit trials and choose to rejoice and choose to be joyful, that you'll do your part. And he will. And he will. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. And I got to tell you, I'm having just a hoot of a time today. And it's going to be an unusual reason why I'm having a wonderful time. I'm just enjoying the front row with these two little children here. Honestly, laying there on the floor, got Bible out, looking at the Bible, wiggling over here. Praise God. Reminds me of something down at Rushville we always had, and I should get them again. I should have them made. But we had these little mini beds that you could just unroll, like a bedroll. And you could just unroll them, and parents would go and grab one, lay it down on the floor, and lay their child on it, and the next thing you know, the child's sleeping. Amen. See, my sermons have a tendency to put people right to sleep. Oh, praise God. Amen. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know him as your Lord and Savior. You know that if you were to die today and leave this world, you would go to heaven. And your only answer would be Jesus. Not, I've been a good person. Not, I hope so. But Jesus took my sins away and I accepted him as Lord and Savior. Amen. I think every hand went up here. But folks, I want to exhort you. Give God's word its proper place in your life. Because Jesus and the word are one and the same. How you treat the word of God is how you treat Jesus. Amen. If you don't have time for his word, you don't have time for him. Have time for him. Have time for his word. It'll bring you joy. Just a second, I'm going to pray. And if you want prayer for anything, we'll pray for you. And if you want to just slip out while they're singing this last song, you can go ahead and slip out. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come on up and I'll pray with you. I don't see any of our prayer team. They're all missing today. Amen. Missing them. So let's pray. And Jenny, will you hit the top lights too, please? Father God, right now in Jesus' name, I just worship you and praise you. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. And Father, just this, if anybody in here has never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would come forward right now and do so. And then, Father, if there's any folks in here and they want prayer for anything, that they'd just come up and receive. Just love to pray for people. Just love to minister to them. Thank you, Father, and praise you. And as we end this service here, I thank you, God, that you go with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. You're with us always, even to the end of the age. And we will go out and live our lives in such a way that it brings worship and praise to you. That our lives are instruments of worship, instruments of righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, give somebody a hug, sing along, be blessed, come on up for prayer. It's ever in your heart to do. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.